You're listening to Please Save Me.
Please Save Me is the official recap podcast of Chicago Heroes, network TV's number one drama.
Chicago Heroes is definitely a real TV show, but you won't find it in any TV guide.
And if you don't watch it, that's your problem.
You gotta take a side.
You know what makes me really sick to my stomach?
What?
It's watching you stuff your face with those hot dogs.
If you see me coming, you better run because I'm gonna lay you the fuck down.
Nobody, I mean nobody, puts ketchup on a hot dog.
Smells like courage.
Lace up your sports balls, hero heads, because it's the big Sunday, and we're going to be recapping the best show in the world from every year, and I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I am actually talking about just another week's episode of Chicago Heroes, television's best TV show. That's right. Every week that it's on, it's the best show of the year. And I am the best fan of it. My name is Ben Flores, and I'm here with the other second, or maybe first, who knows, best fan of the show, my co-host for this official recap podcast. And I'm going to let her introduce herself.
I am the number one superest fan, and it's Sarah Black. Here, coming to you live from the big game, and the big game is this podcast that we do to recap the best show of all time.
We got about 200, 3,000 fans all surrounding our podcasting trailer right now.
Yep.
And they're screaming and they're shouting, but we've soundproofed the trailer, so yes. You can't hear them, but we can see them.
They all have either a Ben shirt or a Sarah shirt, but... Actually, we are going to tie today and host the show in tandem.
Indefinitely. Also, because of the tie. Mm. We're going to go into overtime.
We're constantly in overtime. This is good.
So what did you think of this week's episode of Chicago Heroes?
Okay. I feel like somebody put diesel fuel in my engine. This thing really revved me up. It was so good. It's really the big game of episodes, as far as I'm concerned. Haven't seen anything better since, and haven't seen anything better before it.
I felt like
that makes sense.
I totally makes sense to me.
Cool,
because I felt exactly the same way.
Yeah,
it's actually funny that
so
you
good.
Said the diesel thing, that metaphor, because that's the one I was gonna say also.
Fuck.
It's like somebody put diesel fuel in my engine, which, as we all know, makes an engine go better.
Vroom, vroom.
And that's a little life hack. So if you are out there driving your car around while you're listening to the podcast, which a lot of people are want to do.
Mm-hmm. And wanting to do.
Yes. So if you're desiring doing that, then tell you what, live your best life. Go get in your car and do it. And drive yourself. Okay, now you're in your car.
Yep.
You've restarted the pod. You plugged the podcast phone in to the auxiliary.
Your podcast phone.
And it yes, well, two phones, one for the podcast and one for the load. And so you've plugged it in and you've restarted the podcast and now you're listening again.
Make sure you go back 15 seconds just to make sure you didn't miss anything.
Yes, you didn't want to have missed the part where I made that good joke that referenced a rap song from 2 years ago. Two phones, one for the plug, one for the load. It's a joke I've made before on this podcast, actually, and last time I made it, you also didn't get it. So I just thought it'd be good to sort of pull it out of the old toolbox again.
Yeah.
And, when everything's when all you have is, two phones, everything looks like a plug or a load. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is, put diesel in your engine.
Yes.
So the point is, we're going to be recapping this week's, journey-tastic episode of Chicago Heroes. And we have a special guest here to do it. Sarah, are you excited about our guest this week?
Oh my gosh. It's like somebody put diesel fuel in my engine. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. And in our booking app, because we booked this guy and it was like it was on diesel when we got him.
Yeah. Turned all the way up. High octane.
Yeah.
Big old engine.
On Spinal Tap, they say the amps go to 11.
Yeah,
right?
I've heard that.
It's actually like our...
I've heard about Spinal Tap.
Guest booking app goes to 12.
Yeah.
And that's a little joke about this guy because...
And if you're wondering why we keep saying things about cars and fuel, it might become a little bit clearer in a moment.
In about 50, skip 15 seconds ahead and you'll find out.
Yes.
Oh, and you missed it because I'm saying it now. So this guy is Carl Roadster... Carl Roadster 12, which is why it's like the amp goes up to 12 if you missed that little reference. So clarify that for you. This yeah. guy is Carl Roadster 12, and he is a YouTuber.
If you couldn't tell by the number in his name.
What's up? What's up, Carl?
Hey, Carl Roadster 12 here. Thanks for having me. I'm a car guy. Been a car guy since I've been a boy. And I just want to correct you guys. You don't put diesel into the engine.
You of what? Is there no car you'd put a diesel in?
You put diesel into the gas tank.
And totally, man. Oh, yeah. I've been nice. Fucking that up bad. Yeah. That's why my car doesn't drive.
That's why our trailer doesn't go nowhere.
Yeah, we flooded that engine with diesel.
And also, it's a really big misconception. Not all cars take diesel. Some take take other gas. They take unleaded.
You said you have been a car guy ever since you were a car boy.
Yeah, so how long come ago... you're saying so many wrong things?
No, I was just going to say, how long ago were you a car boy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I started YouTube out of the gates. I was 12 when YouTube was born, and I saw the future, so I started the channel up, and I just started peeking around my neighbor's garages with a camera looking at their cars, and they're like, there goes that dang old car boy again, and well, look at me now.
Car boy raider. Like a carburetor?
Yes.
You get
and,
it?
And that's yes. your theme song on your YouTube is like, oh, there he goes. It's that car boy again. Oh, here comes the car boy. Cars are his friends, right?
People love it.
Yeah.
I'll go to the grocery store.
They love it.
They sing it.
Yeah. We catch ourselves in the trailer all the time just like milling around when we're like doing dishes or whatever and somebody will start humming it and then we'll... Next thing we know, we are screaming it at the top of our lungs.
Yeah. Always trying to hit the... Make the auto-tune sounds with our mouths. Can't do it.
No.
Oh, man, it's delightful. I'm so happy you guys like my song.
There's that car boy again.
You just sound like the guy from the from Video Killed the Radio Star.
You know there goes that car boy, that car. I can't. Now that you asked me to do the Video Killed,
I didn't ask you to. I just said that's what you sounded like.
Yeah, it's a way of asking.
And the listeners didn't see it, but I was on my hands and knees begging.
Begging and pleasing. well, you've actually been begging and pleasing your audience, Carl. You've been begging them to like and subscribe, and you've been pleasing them when they do for years now. For actually about, it's for you're hitting about your 13th anniversary now, right? You started
today.
This channel in 2006?
Yeah.
That's happy...
Carversary.
Oh, I was going to say happy car mitzvah.
I'm a car man now.
Yeah. A car mitzvah. Because when you turn 13.
Oh, yeah, I totally get it. I was trying to think about a joke where it would have to do with cars, but I would say Mazel Tov. But, I couldn't
Mazda Tov.
Mazda Tov. Okay.
Could I use that?
Yeah, please.
Okay,
hey,
cool.
We've both but used if you it give at this it, point, so if, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to give me money to use it, you're more than welcome to use it.
I'll plug you guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how many subscribers you at?
About 32 million.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing. Almost as many as listen to.
We had $32 million once.
Yeah, because we get $1 million for every listener.
Yeah.
So that's how much the podcast company pays us. Big podcast
it's
over
pretty
there.
Standard.
Yeah, big podcast. Yeah.
And
Headcum Network.
We blew it all on Thinkvestments and...
crypto.
Who are your guys' think tanks? Who do you use?
Oh, I put straight diesel into my think tank. Yeah, so for me,
same.
I would say BP, Citgo, Shell.
I put half and half.
Yep.
So like Nestle.
Dairy Gold.
It's thick is good. Thick is good for the tanks.
I'm always saying thick is good.
Mm. Well, Carl.
Got a thick ass. Got a big old trunk like a car.
You're kind of an expert, Carl, then, in the story, the genre that this week's episode of Chicago Heroes touched on.
Yeah, I actually, I first heard about this episode because I have a Google alert for cars, every time you see a car on Google, I know. And I saw this about 6 months ago when they started production, and I was like, there's going to be a lot of cars in this bad boy.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, and that's a well that they keep pulling water out of on this show, because they've had sort of, Fast and the Furious style episodes, but better. They've had, like, with street racing and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, you must love that stuff.
No, I fucking hate Fast and the Furious. It's disrespectful to vehicles. It's disrespectful to the brand names of the cars. It's disrespectful to how to drive.
So you're more of, you know, sort of everyday American, you know, car...
comedians and cars getting coffee kind of guy.
I respect it slightly more just because Jerry's a little more respectful of the vehicle.
Yeah, he loves those vehicles.
So you don't necessarily like people who kind of try to soup their cars up or, run their cars into the ground. You want someone who keeps their car up nice, treats it well. It's a member of the family.
Let me ask, if you have a baby boy, you're going to try to put stuff on it?
If you have a baby boy, you're going to try to put stuff on it. That's what you just said,
no,
right?
No, if you have a baby boy, you're not going to put stuff. Is that what you're going to do? No, you're going to love that baby boy as it is. That's how I feel about cars.
Yeah, but that little baby boy naked. Don't put anything on him.
Not even a diaper.
Nothing. Pure. Just as God intended.
Pure as God intended. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I don't mean to get angry.
Because,
I just
of course, Adam and Eve, they tried to cover themselves up and God didn't like it.
Yeah, and that's why I get my period every month.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this thick old trunk.
Yes.
Big old ass.
God has punished you for what Adam and Eve did.
Yeah. I look at cars kind of as my religion, and I feel like there's a lot of the paths cross, you know?
And so are the high priests of your religion, they must be like Click and Clack, the car talk guys on NPR.
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
That's cool.
R.I.P. So
they die?
The show's over.
Different projects.
So they die.
So they die.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, once you lose your fame, you die, basically.
If you die
world.
In a dream, you die in real life. And if you lose your fame in real life, you die in real life.
Exactly.
Those are the things I know.
And if your car crashes in a dream, it crashes in real life.
Yeah, they put that in every car manual. If you take a look, just look in the back. That's pretty obvious.
And if I crash through a plate glass window in my dream, I've done it a million times in real life.
Well, that's why we've reinforced them, and you can't hear all those fans outside the trailer screaming at us as we record. Well, what they are clamoring for right now is for us to recap this episode. So this week's episode of Chicago Heroes, we open on rookie cop Serena Sanchez.
Played by Selena Gomez.
Yes.
Obviously, as always, famously played by her every episode.
And unlike a typical episode of Chicago Heroes, this one had we actually kind of got right into the story for this episode. We didn't open with 20 or 30 minutes of a different story that was kind of wrapping up.
which is strange for this show to do. However, there was so much story to cram in to the actual story that they didn't need it.
Yeah. So we open on Serena, and she's just, they kind of didn't show this cinematically. I guess she was just like sitting there basically.
Yeah, just sitting.
And talking to herself. And she was saying, The other heroes, like police chief Samantha Bolt and firefighter Dylan Smith and lawyer Mark Briggs and Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, they don't respect me because I'm a rookie and they're never going to treat me as a full-fledged hero.
Yeah.
This is just she's saying this to herself.
Yeah. And you'd think, you know, in the show, and it's always so surprising because you'd think, if I'm a TV writer, I write it, she's talking on the phone to her mom or she's talking on the phone to her aunt.
Best way to show this exposition. She's talking about it to someone.
Right. Versus just saying it to herself.
She's not even looking in the mirror.
No, she's looking.
Sitting in a chair.
Straight ahead, but a little off camera so that she's not breaking the fourth wall.
In kind of an empty room.
That's kind of how I tube.
Yeah,
interesting.
We know.
Yes.
Yeah,
we love that.
Every time I tube, I'm like, pretend you're talking to dad.
Yeah, you never address the camera directly. So a lot of YouTubers, they talk straight to the camera, so it's like they're connecting to their audience. But you always do it documentary style.
I look towards heaven.
Yes, you always like are sort of talking to as if there's an interviewer who's 6 feet above you and to their left.
Yes, a lot. The first 6 years, people didn't like it, but now they get, they're pretty upset if I even tilt my head a little bit.
So when you...
Oh, I've seen those comments. Those are nasty.
They're brutal.
Yeah, people calling you a look downer and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's gross.
Terrible stuff.
Yeah, and people need to remember that bullying is real and that there is somebody on the other side of that camera.
Mm-hmm,
When you do that, is there something that you have in the room that you're in that's like kind of trained to where you should be looking so that you feel like you're addressing something, or are you just kind of like... generally looking
at. I tape up every single picture of my father that exists onto the wall and ceiling.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
A little Hollywood tip.
I love that tip.
Yeah.
We should do that.
And is that what you also have taped to you right now? Because you do have that sort of selfie stick that's you're holding up and to the
yeah
left of you, this really long telescoping selfie stick that has some kind of a picture tacked to it.
Yeah, it took me...
you haven't looked at us once.
Yeah, it's a good tactic. It's something I learned in Juilliard's. It's called the old dad stick.
Uh-huh.
The old dad stick. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I'm sure... I mean, I only know Meisner, so...
And is this a private thing, or am I allowed to get a glimpse of that?
I rather you didn't, but if it organically happens, you know, God willed it.
Got it.
God
okay. Yes.
Willed it. Serena's talking to herself. Nobody takes me seriously. I'm always going to be a rookie. Yeah, using the Juilliard's technique. She's like, nobody's ever going to take me seriously. And
bring, bring, phone ring.
And it's like, okay, again, would have been easy to just have her on the phone with her mom or with her aunt or something. And then she gets another call and says, hey, wait, I got it. I'm getting another call. Would have been a little bit mm-hmm. in my brain if I'm a TV writer, which I'm not for obvious reasons because I didn't write the show. But I would have that happen versus her just talking and then the phone. And then she pick up phone and she say...
It's a big, important guy on the other end.
Big, important guy. Yeah. Big, important voice.
You can hear that he's wearing a suit.
Yeah. It's James Earl Jones.
Yes. And he says, kid, you got the look. We want you in the Hero Bowl this year.
Yep.
And Serena just about loses her gall-dang mind, hangs up the phone... then has to call him back, right? To say, I accept, give me the details.
Yeah.
That, she totally freaks out.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, this has been my dream since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
The
and she's like, I should call my mom.
Yeah. Doesn't do it.
Doesn't.
And she's like, I can prove myself finally to all the other heroes. I'm going to win the Hero Bowl. And once and for all, they're going to respect me.
I won't be a rookie anymore.
Yeah. So
I'll be rookie of the year.
That must have been something that I would imagine for you, Carl, having started YouTubing at 12, you might have identified with that kind of mindset, you know, having to prove your mettle.
Yeah, because there was other boys.
Car joke.
There was other cars. there were other boys around, you know, like the car web, you know, like a lot of the E-bomb world boys and a lot of the other internet.
Now, I've heard of mail bombs, but E-bombs?
It's a website from the early 2000s.
Got it.
Yeah, they were really upset at me. They're like, who the heck does this kid think he is talking about Fords? And so I had to really not let them get to me. I had to keep plowing forward. You know, keep driving.
Keep the pedal to the metal.
Keep the pedal to the metal. Keep eyes on the road and hands on the webcam. And
that is a signature of yours. Is you've only ever talked about American cars, right?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I. Listen, you family's got to drive their kids. If you can only get a Toyota, you get a Toyota. You got to get that kid to school. You got to get that kid to church. But I'm personally a Buick guy.
Yes.
Ugh, I love a Buick. It's like driving a boat on the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is what, the reason that we booked you on this episode, Carl, was because we knew that you would be perfect for it. Because, of course, what happens is... all the flights are grounded,
yes.
Right? So, yeah. There's, you know, Serena can't fly out to Los Angeles for the Hero Bowl.
Which I love. I hate planes.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Me too. Big time.
That's what Serena kind of... I didn't really quite believe her, but it is what she says to herself when her flight gets canceled. She goes, I hate planes anyway.
Yeah, but she says it in a
She's
way that
crying.
You're kind of like, yeah, you're kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting to know that despite the fact that nobody respects her... they're all going with her.
They're all with her at the airport.
Yeah. And we find out why.
Yeah. To kind of make fun of her as she leaves. Right. Like you realize like, oh, they all went to the airport with her to kind of give her shit for going to compete in the Hero Bowl.
Right. Right.
You know, like they're all tossing their insults at her.
Yeah.
And
they're all tossing the pig
paper
skin.
Paper plane insults. Yeah.
They kept saying, "You're a new cop. You're a new cop. You're a new cop."
Yeah.
Yeah, and she hates that.
She hates it.
Because she goes, "I've been a cop for a year now.
I'm not new."
Yes. And they say, "Till there's somebody newer, you're new."
Which I could be foreshadowing.
Could be. Yes. Mm. Not for this episode, but in terms of the future.
Yeah.
Totally could be.
Could be anything in the future.
They
really.
Often, you know, I'm hesitant to say that because often the writers of this show don't think ahead to future episodes. So
even though they shot five seasons in one go.
You know, well, and I think that that's really is kind of the problem is they wrote and shot five seasons all at once. So they didn't really have time to, you know, build
think
on
ahead.
Build one thing into another.
The 2005 Buick LeSabre makes no sense, but it's my favorite car in the world. They did not plan it out.
Yeah, I mean, because they shot, I mean, at the time that they shot this episode, it was brand new, you know? So it was sort of like, okay, yeah, 2005 Buick LeSabre, this is the hottest new car on the market.
Yeah.
And by the time it airs, it's like, well, it's a little dated now.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a granny car.
Why'd they put that cup holder there?
That's what I'm wondering.
That's a stupid place for a cup holder.
Right?
So
the freaking trunk.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what happens, right?
On top of the car, too. There's one on top of the car.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually like that one.
Yeah? That's
cool.
For good.
It's good because
if you drive slow.
And mm-hmm. Well, and then when they drive fast, we see that the liquid flies out of it like a little jet stream behind the car.
Which is cute.
It's cute.
I want my neighbors to know I'm drinking Starbucks. I'm drinking good. You could have your Dunkin' Donuts. I'm gonna take my.
You're drinking good.
Yeah,
and that is the Starbucks slogan.
I'm drinking good.
I'm drinking good. So, why are we talking about a 2005 Buick LeSabre? Because the flights are grounded, but then Serena gets an idea. So they walk out of the airport terminal and someone has, well, they're saying, you know, there's a mom saying, sending her son off to college and saying goodbye to him. You know, they're standing outside the car hugging and they've left their Buick LeSabre with the keys in it running.
Mm-hmm.
And so Serena says, quick, get in.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Cops are allowed to do that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
And all the other heroes are like, well, what are we doing?
She goes, I'll tell you on the way.
And they say, okay, no, we're not driving to LA with you for the Hero Bowl.
So what does Serena do? Well,
she
cop keeps a few things on their belt.
And one's a taser and the other's a gun.
So she pulls out that taser and they go, we're not scared of that.
Yeah, we've all been tased before. We do this at the Hero House all the time.
Yeah. Mark Briggs goes, you know, I'm the 10 time get tased king. You can't scare me with that shit.
Yeah. And Serena goes, okay, well, what about
this?
And she takes out her handcuffs and she starts just kind of twirling them around on her mm-hmm. finger.
That made them horny, so they listened.
Yes, they got real listeny because they were horny. And she goes, all right, get in the car. And they say, no, we're not going with you. And she goes, all right, I didn't want to have to do this. And she pulls out her gun and points it at all of them and says, get in the car.
And then they got real horny.
Then they were even more horny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, we'll get in the car.
It was a little kind of 3-minute, 3-act play.
Yeah.
Because we saw the gun on her belt.
Chekhov's gun.
Yep. And then we had the middle of it, which was
where the gun was
twirling handcuffs.
It's that old, I learned this in Jewel. If you show a gun, it must make you horny by the third act.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of moaning and groaning and panting as they got into. They all stuffed themselves into this Buick LeSabre.
Yeah, they crawled all over each other to get in that back seat. And they're moaning and groaning and panting. And the windows started steaming up big time. And somebody put their hand on the steam wall and went down on... their hand went down on the window like the thing in Titanic.
I really like that part of the episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good part.
So sorry.
It was a good part, and but it was over quickly because security guard came up, TSA guy.
Yeah.
And he knocked on the window. They rolled the window down. He said, "You guys can't do that here." And then he goes, "Hey, you guys are the Chicago heroes."
Yeah.
And they're all like, yeah.
Yeah, and they all whip out their badge.
Yes. And he pulls out his badge and he says, I'm actually TSA. I was been meaning to talk to you. Serena hits the gas pedal and drives away. Right? Because, I mean, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah,
he's not
TSA.
A hero. Yeah.
No.
I mean, he misses... He kind of says to himself after they drive off, he's like, yeah, I guess that's fair. I miss 95% of contraband that gets passed through.
Yeah.
Because I'm no good.
Yeah.
But I get to look up feet all day. And then
and
he
that's
sort
my
of
dream.
Licks his lips.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so they start heading west in the Buick LeSabre. And you can tell they're heading west because they start playing some surf rock.
They play Carry On My Westward Son. That
surf rock
song.
Anthem, yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful song.
And we are out on the road going west. And yes, there was a commercial that they cut to at that point for the reboot of Flipper. You're right. So mm-hmm. We are actually sponsored by that reboot. So if you're a hero head out there listening to Please Save Me, Please Save Me is sponsored by the reboot sequel to Flipper. And it's about Flipper Jr. Mm-hmm. Who is sailing the seas.
Mm-hmm. I think they got
on a sailboat
trying to get vengeance for his dad.
I think they have Danny DeVito play the grandson.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. So it's about Flipper Jr. and Flipper the Third, mm-hmm. who's played by... The Third is played by Danny DeVito doing a turn as a child, dolphin. But he does have the dolphin... It's not animated. It's not animated.
It's all
the dolphin
practical
does have
effects.
DeVito's face.
Yeah, it's all practical effects and makeup and movie magic.
Hey, ask me what kind of car Danny DeVito's got.
What kind of car has Danny DeVito got?
He's got a Cadillac truck.
And cool. That's the best kind. And it's funny that you sort of say that as if you're an expert, because obviously that was in this episode of Chicago Heroes. They pass him on the highway, you know, and there's Danny DeVito cruising along the I-90 headed west, his shirt off, flapping in the breeze, American flag on the side of his Cadillac truck, getting roadhead.
Yep, from Rhea Perlman. Is that her name? His wife?
Rhea Perlman?
Yeah.
I think they split up.
They did.
Well, they are. I can tell you that they are back together.
Yeah, Carla from Cheers.
That's the one who she started as a hairdresser? That's how they met? Or is that another one of DeVito's wives?
No, she's Carla from Cheers.
Oh, okay, you said that. I'm sorry.
That's her name, right? In Cheers?
I don't know. I only know her as... I only know her from this episode of the show. And
she's
I really only
Danny
saw the
DeVito.
Back of her. I only really saw the back of her head, so we really can't be sure who it is.
It's Carla. It's Carla, and played by Rhea Perlman.
That makes sense.
So
that makes sense because DeVito was moaning Carla, Carla.
I thought he was just moaning car.
I thought he was going to LA. Yes, I did think he was going to LA and driving a car. You know, like it was giving himself directions. Car, la, which is, of course, how we
LA.
Say L.A.
He's Juilliard,
Carl
too.
Carl Roadster.
Yes.
Is there a Carla Roadster?
No, not, no.
Oh.
You married the game of cars.
Is there a Mrs. Roadster?
No,
you're married to the road.
I'm married to the road. I'm married to the game. I'm married to the engine. I'm married to the gas. I would like a wife, but just it hasn't prospered.
Oh, why?
My wife.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I do have a son, though.
How'd you get him?
A Carl's Junior Roadster.
Carl's Junior Roadster.
I had a YouTube raffle. I said, you guess the right number, I'll be your father. And here we are. He said,
dang, I wish I knew about the raffle. I need a dad. I need a daddy.
I'll do one about 5 years. I do one every 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have two sons.
No, only one guessed right. The rest have been very wrong.
So it's like the lottery.
Yeah.
Got it. That's interesting. So they start heading to LA. They pass Danny DeVito getting roadheaded.
That's just their first little stop along the road. They don't even stop. I mean, they just drive by him.
Yeah, that's
about a 5-second scene.
Yeah. The best scene in the app, though.
Yeah, best one. It's all downhill from there, but we're going to discuss it anyway.
Some much needed levity in an otherwise very serious episode.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we do see DeVito and head girl woman one more time. We really don't know who she is because this is all speculation, right? I mean, she had curly hair.
Could be CGI for all we
know.
It
could be CGI. It could just be a wig with nobody even with it.
It's a merkin.
It could just, yes, it could be. So
this is good.
Because they pass them again because the LeSabre starts to run out of traffic. Yeah, so there's a big traffic and they have to turn, right? So they run out of the traffic away from it. And then
they get back into
it. I get so excited from these car terms.
Yeah, like that. Going out of traffic. Getting back in traffic.
I'm really excited right now.
Yeah, we can see the goosebumps from here.
Yeah. And also your selfie stick is just shaking.
Yeah, your selfie stick just extended about a whole foot. So once they pass the traffic, it seems like it's all clear skies ahead. But guess what? They're not flying there on the road. And also, guess what? They run out of gas.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
They didn't show it happen the first time, but we know it's again because they say, again? Well, Carl, what did you think about... I know you're a car guy, full-fledged car man.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you feel about the solution at this rest area that presented itself to our heroes?
I thought it was pretty organic.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the biker boys?
Yeah, I mean, you spent time on the road. Is that the kind of thing that you really see out on the road?
Do you run into biker boys?
Yeah, I mean, we're friends. You know, I go, hello, and they go, hello. You know, we know each other. And biker boys, us car boys, you know, we're a little bit different, but we all love engines. So when the Buick ran out of gas, that made me sad. But I was like, there's always a good solution. And it's usually biker boys.
Yeah, I mean, paint us a picture here for the listeners who haven't watched the episode yet. Pause this and we'll go watch it if you haven't watched it. But is what this biker gang is wearing, you know... Is it accurate? Is it representative of how a real biker gang would look?
Yeah, something Ben and I are constantly trying to do on this show is ensure that the costuming and the makeup and all that stuff on the show is accurate to the time period, to the person. Yeah, and biker, we're not as ingrained in biker culture, so...
As much as I want your guys' respect, I can't honestly answer that question. I know cars. I don't really know biker clothes. But in my amateur opinion, they like leather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They like Monster Energy drinks. You'll see one hand on the bike, one hand on the Monster Energy drink. That means, you know, they got places to go.
Yeah.
And that's usually a telltale sign.
Yeah.
But I'm no biker clothes expert.
Well, no, clearly, because you're wearing a big old pair of overalls.
Yeah, car clothes.
Yeah, car clothes.
And I would say that the producer designers of Chicago Heroes probably also aren't that ingrained in biker culture then. That's what kind of I was checking because, of course, they were all wearing plaid with fringe and kind of like plaid flannel that had been cut like leather jackets. With lots of
that makes sense.
Fringe and rhinestones. Mm-hmm. And
The way leather is cut.
Exactly. It was cut like leather, but it was made out of flannel. Or Scottish tartan.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love the tartan. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Maybe it was to counteract the sexiness of DeVito. It was like, we had just had DeVito. He was real hot. If we put leather on these boys on bikes,
people are going to stop watching.
Well, you get a TVMA rating instead of that.
That's exactly what, if you have DeVito and leather, it's gonna have to boost up the maturity rating,
right?
So you want to keep it whatever. What's the rating in the show again?
TVT.
It's gotta be either DeVito or leather. You can't do both,
right? Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So the bikers have some extra bikes, right? I mean,
if you're a smart biker, that's just what you do.
Yeah, you gotta have a spare.
Yeah, they got
like you got a spare tire if you drive a car.
Yeah, and if you're a biker boy, you want to help out cops whenever you can.
Exactly, so they don't come after you, right? So they have 4 extra bikes.
Yep.
Well, there's 5 heroes, but luckily one of these bikes has a sidecar. So
Pierce Brosnan hops in the sidecar.
Pierce Brosnan, the doctor. He's wearing his lab coat. He's wearing his stethoscope.
He's got a clipboard.
Yes. He hops into the sidecar while Mark Briggs drives it.
Which is funny because they kind of have this antagonistic relationship, and Mark Briggs is driving and he's in the sidecar, and it's like a little bit of a play on like,
yeah, Pierce Brosnan goes, "Let me drive, you wank."
Yeah. Yes. You twat.
Twat, yeah. That one, I was surprised that they used that one because of the TVT.
Yeah, but it's British.
But it is British.
I'm personally surprised that the doctor even likes bikes at all. Because I thought if I was a doctor, I'd hate bikes because of the bad health reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of, we've learned in the past few episodes since he's joined the cast, he's kind of a thrill seeker, a little bit of a doctor who doesn't play by the rules.
A bad boy. Yes, and he does sing that as they get into the bad boys, what you gonna do?
Yeah,
what you and gonna Mark Briggs do is kind of like, come for that's racist, is what he says.
Yeah, he's like, I don't love that. I don't love that.
Yeah, he doesn't say that's racist, but that was how I thought he was sort of was thinking.
Yeah, he was very politely like, I don't love that.
Yeah, because Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, was sort of like kind of nudging him, trying to get him to join in.
Yeah. And then everybody else had already kind of sped off on their bikes. Mm-hmm. So Mark and Pierce had some catching up to do.
Yeah. And they do catch up to the big flying V of the bikers riding down the road.
401.
Kind of how birds migrate. That's how bikers move.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah.
Bikers and birds have a lot in common.
Yes.
And for me, I thought like, great, problem solved. Episode's almost over. They're going to ride these bikes with the gang all the way to Los Angeles, to the Hero Bowl. Serena Sanchez is going to win it, and episode's going to be over. But there's actually another complication that arises.
Yes.
You know, because what do biker gangs, what do they want to do?
They like to steal snacks.
Mm-hmm, stealing snacks.
Yeah. They're wanting to steal snacks.
Yes, and they are doing it.
Yep.
Because they all pull over to the gas station, and Samantha Bolt, when they're in the gas station shopping for the snacks, she notices the bikers taking the snacks without paying for them.
That made her so mad.
Oh, it made her really mad. I mean, she saw them up at the counter holding a gun up to the guy that sells the snacks and saying, we're not going to pay for these.
Yep.
You know, and we're going to murder you besides.
Yeah.
And
for fun.
Makes the snacks taste better.
Just to watch you die.
Fun, yeah.
And Samantha Bolt says, guys,
no,
that's wrong.
I'm not loving that.
Not loving it.
Yeah, not
which
loving
is,
it.
Which seems like maybe they couldn't afford new lines for the episode, because they only get so many each episode.
Yes. Right, and they have to buy them, buy the rights to them. Every line in the show.
Line.
They have to copyright and trademark every line that they use in the show so that no other shows use.
And you got to pay LegalZoom for that.
And also you got to pay a writer per a sentence. That's just the new guild writer rules, you know, per word, per dollar.
Well, we hate unions.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I was especially surprised about how they didn't visually show Serena Sanchez's exposition at the beginning of the episode, instead gave her this long monologue, right? I was like, that's got to be costing them an arm and a leg, and it did, because they blew their budget for the rest of the episode, basically.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe that's a little thematic kind of a thing, right?
Rookie
we got rookie cop, rookie writing.
Rookie budget writer staff.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe they're trying to tell their own story here, right?
They're trying to be the hero.
I did notice in the credits at the end that it said that this episode was written by the new guy. So could be a hint.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
Well, anyway, they have a big confrontation with these bikers about sort of the bikers doing crimes, you know? And they're like, we didn't know you guys were doing crimes. We wouldn't have ridden with you.
Yeah, they were kind of like, I feel bad. They were like, I feel bad about it.
The bikers.
Yeah.
And also the cops, they're kind of like, I appreciate the bikes. You know, I do appreciate the bikes, but the snacks make me mad. You know, it's like you want to be loyal to them because of the bikes they provide, but then you have this conflict. So it's really...
Yeah. And that's kind of the theme throughout Chicago Heroes, right? Like, these folks are constantly being put in situations with really high... like a big moral question at the center of them. Like, do I like the thing this person gave me? Sure. Do I like the thing they're doing right now? Not so much. And so what do I do as a result? And in this case, They took the bikes and kept on running.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they said, now it's time for us to do crimes to you. And so they stole those bikes.
But we can, because we're Chicago heroes.
Yes, and those bikes, unfortunately, ran out of gas again.
Yep. right as soon as they left.
All at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 10, 15 feet away. they run out of gas, and the bikers say, oh, no, you don't. Because they're still, I mean, they basically haven't left the parking lot. You know, they didn't make it.
Big time didn't make it.
So things are looking a little dicey for our heroes at this point.
Yeah, and Serena starts crying again, mm-hmm. and she's like, I didn't even like the bikes anyway.
Yeah. And the bikers say to them, well, they say, you may be... they say, you may be police and firefighters and doctors and lawyers where you come from, but around here, we're the law, and we're going to judge, jury, and executioner you now.
Yeah, and one of them takes a chain out and kind of puts it around Dylan Smith's neck, like, to choke him or something, and Dylan Smith is like, hey, not so fast,
we
guys.
Just met each other. Yeah. And
the firefighter.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And he doesn't have any firefighter skills that he can use to get himself out of the situation, unfortunately.
Yeah. So,
but he does stop, drop, and roll.
Exactly. Well, and mm-hmm. that does work. So I spoke too soon because the chain is wrapped quick. Around his neck and he rolls the opposite direction, unchaining it.
Yeah.
An Unchained Melody started playing. Just to see you free.
What is this, an ASMR podcast?
I don't want to miss a thing.
In a dream, yeah.
And we couldn't get the rights to Unchained Melody, which is why I started singing a different song. But just so you could, out there in listener land, have the feeling of like a song
Sweetest
was playing.
You'll never do. Still miss you, baby.
There was a U2 song playing, and we couldn't get the rights to any U2 song, so we sang Aerosmith. But in any case, what did you guys think about how they got away from the bikers?
I loved it.
Uh-huh.
They finally figured it out. You wanted more.
But that's good writing. You leave the audience wanting more, stop, drop, and rolling.
Because they did it so simple, which is they just ran away on foot. And the bikers are they're out of shape.
Yeah.
Because they eat so many snacks.
They sit on bikes all the time.
Sit on bikes.
Yeah. If there's not vibration under them, they can't move fast.
Exactly. So
and
they're
don't
all,
I know how that feels.
They're all kind of just stuck to the parking lot. And the heroes run away and they run through
a marsh.
Field, marsh thing.
Yeah. One of them,
it's kind of wet.
Desert marshes?
Yes. Yeah. It's a wet desert marsh. And a Kansas marsh. And so they run through the Kansas marsh and they find their way to a river. And they
are like, okay, we're going to swim.
Yeah.
And everybody's all ready.
Everyone looks at each other and go, do you know how to swim?
And they all do. And Dylan Smith
is
the only one who doesn't.
He doesn't.
And he is okay at it. He's like, I can doggy paddle just to like stay afloat, but I can't probably like swim a long distance, if that makes sense. And
luckily,
like, no,
he was already
sense.
Wearing a life vest.
Right.
Yeah. So he just kind of kicks up his feet and does a float, you know?
Yeah. He's like, I'll just float to LA.
Yeah. I'll just float all the way there. But fortunately.
What river was that? What river leads from Kansas to LA?
I think it's called the Kansas LA River.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of names for it. That's the one I know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the Kansas LA River. And luckily, there is a local fan boat race that's going on this river because the heroes, they start getting pretty tired. They overestimated themselves.
Yeah, they're like
drowning,
panting
basically.
And yeah, they're drowning basically.
River swimming is the hardest kind of swimming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we haven't even said that they're going upstream. So, that float is really hard for Dylan. He's basically going the wrong direction.
Firemen aren't used to water. No one talks about it. They're used to fire.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, he says, I just throw the stuff.
And so he starts trying to pick it up and throw it.
Which makes him more tired than floating makes him already, floating upstream.
Yeah.
So they run into this fan boat race, and there's they hitch a ride on a fan boat. You know, I mean, they basically pay a bunch of money to one of the racers, you know, they,
how much money exactly?
It was a duffel bag full of cash. I mean, so I would say millions, but it was all ones. So
yeah, could be a couple hundred.
Couple hundred.
Standard.
Yeah. The guy says, I don't have anything going on today anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does say that.
I love boats, but I hate competition. That's what he said, I think.
Yeah. Because this was a guy who was at the back of the pack.
Yeah. You know? He knew what
that's
he was
going
to do.
The only person he could catch up to.
He knew cash was his only number one he was going to walk away with today.
And yeah, I mean, he was kind of like, it was almost like he was waiting at the back of the pack looking for business opportunities, you know, and he found himself one. Tim Allen. And so, so good guest appearance from him.
Love.
And I, you know,
that.
I thought it was a good casting decision by him for him.
Yeah. By
for,
him.
By he, him. Well, cause he cashed in his, guest appearance chip for this episode.
Well, and in the credits you can see it says casting director, Tim Allen.
And I thought that that was a good, wise budget decision because he didn't really have any lines. He just grunted.
Yeah.
You know, that was basically all his lines. And so they kind of have a little back and forth of grunting, and we see that they come to an understanding of that they'll ride to Los Angeles with him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, he kind of takes them about as far as the river goes, right?
Yeah.
And then he, when they get to, where do they get to? It's like Nevada, California. Border, Nevada,
yeah,
California,
like, yeah,
border.
Yeah.
In the Las Vegas mountains.
Yeah.
So
a couple hours outside of LA.
Yeah. So they go up to the top of this, the river that flows up to the top of this little mountain. And he gets up there and he goes, well, this is as far as she goes. He says this in grunts.
And I was thanking God for the subtitles.
I'm not going to take, can't take the boat down the other side because she won't be able to get back up again.
Yeah.
Plus, I got some poaching to do.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, we got ourselves into it with another criminal.
Yeah. And Serena starts crying. She goes, I didn't even like this boat anyway.
Yeah. At this point, I'm kind of thinking there's no way that they're going to make it down.
No.
Because they're at the top of a mountain.
And Serena checks her phone.
Uh-huh.
And it, she has an alarm set or like a meeting maker or like a calendar thing. And it says Hero Bowl starts in 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's not enough time.
No, not nearly.
Not enough time. Because they're
sad.
Except that there's an old rickety bobsled that is just kind of has been left for dead by the side of the mountain river.
Yeah. Mm. So the heroes all kind of look at each other, don't say much, but
nope,
then all
can't afford it.
Run and pick up the bobsled and run it to the edge of the cliff on the mountain and jump in as it's launching itself off, and they go down the mountain.
Yeah. I think they said, away we go.
They did. They said, away we go, but they said it in grunts so that they didn't have to copyright it or trademark it.
Mm-hmm. Because they all became fluent from all that time spent with Tim Allen, that they can communicate that way now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So then we get kind of a GoPro, like POV kind of view of them going down the bobsled, and there's a lot of, whoa, whoa.
From the top of Las Vegas Mountain all the way down to the LA Valley, where they can see the shining city lights.
Yeah.
And they don't quite make it all the way there, right? They're about 300 feet from the Hero Bowl Arena. And
something happens.
Well, yeah, their bobsleds
out of gas.
It's out of gas, exactly.
And that's the sound it makes.
They all go
again.
And they lift that bobsled up over their heads, and they starts a running.
Yep. Feel the rhythm.
It was very exciting. I was entranced by that moment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still hypnotized, I think. Like, if you told me to quack like a chicken right now, I would do it.
Wait, chickens quack?
And I don't want to miss a thing. Because even when I dream.
But they really did miss a thing.
They
right.
did miss a thing, and the thing was...
It's a long way to run with a bobsled, yeah. And they get there, and the Hero Bowl is coming to an end, right? They have all of the contestants up on stage.
Yep, and they're all in their bikinis with their sashes on, and they're all
and
saying
Regis
answers.
Regis Philbin is holding the tiara, right? And he's going to put the tiara on the nation's greatest hero, right? He's about to crown... a hero cop from Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, and Serena starts crying and she goes, I didn't even like the Hero Bowl anyway. And the heroes, all the other heroes kind of look at each other and kind of silently between them agree, we've got to do something.
Yeah. How did that moment make you feel, Carl?
It reminded me of back when I had my first car off and I was too late to it. Because I fell down the mountain on the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so like pretty much parallel to what happened.
I mean, we've all had a story like that.
Yeah, and it made me real sad. But then I looked at my dad's stick, and it kind of gave me guidance for what to do in that moment. And it was very similar to the plot of this episode.
Yeah. I mean, totally. So the other heroes say, they kind of look at each other and say, Serena doesn't have, I mean, they don't call it a dad stick, but they basically kind of say she doesn't have any other inspiration. We need to be her heroes, you know?
Yeah.
And so they all stand up and to her left. Mm-hmm. They all kind of climb up on a rock so that she can look up at them and get some inspiration. Mm-hmm. And she has an idea.
Yep, big time.
And they all have the idea at the same time as her because it's one of those mind meld kind of moments.
When you spend that much time in the Hero House together, you get a little thing that they call group mind.
Yes, your cycle, your mental cycles sync up.
Yeah, and your moon cycles and your periods and all that stuff. Yeah.
So their thoughts are jiving and they improvise
a full Herald.
improvise a full is performance
that,
piece.
That's what they call bombs these days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, an H-bomb.
Yeah, because their Herald did really... Their Herald, which is a style of long-form improvisational theater, did bomb. Yeah, it was really bad. It was so bad.
It's a Nazi technology, the Herald.
Yeah.
Yes, right. The Heraldheimer, and they... which is what it's short for.
Yeah, it went down like a... went over like a lead balloon.
Yes,
that exploded.
Baby's black balloon made me fly. Almost fell into that hole in your life. I'm always thinking about tomorrow. Na, 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 na.
I love Tom Petty.
And so that the way that it bombs so bad, their performance gives them a thought. Right? They're like, wait, bombs, right?
Bombs.
And they're
bombs.
Like, we've been a bomb squad before.
Mm-hmm.
We know about bombs.
We know big time about
bombs. We have
bombs.
A doctor. He knows all about bombs.
Oh, yes. My gosh. He's removed bombs from so many people's bellies.
Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, he basically does code blacks every single day is what he's operating on.
Yeah.
So they go, Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, did you save any of those bombs that you surgically removed from someone who came into your ER from
and every
Chicago
doctor
hospital?
Has to.
He says, you got to save it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he pulls out a mason jar full of bombs.
Yes. And
good bombs.
What they do is they hurry into the basement of the Hero Bowl arena and they plant the bomb.
Yep. And Serena's kind of just like still standing outside the arena a little bit like, what is going on?
And she's like, that's not the idea I had.
Yeah.
She was like, I just really did just want us to do that improv together to kind of feel, like to cheer ourselves up, live in a different world.
Right. To really reconnect and kind of reset before we get into the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. that we call the stuff that we call our lives is what she says in her mind.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, it's just so nice to just be an adult who's playing pretend, doing make-em-ups with my friends.
Well, they didn't make up putting that bomb in the basement. They really put it there.
They sure did.
And so they go up to, so Dylan Smith, he goes up onto stage, and he interrupts, right? And Regis Philbin goes, "What's the big idea?"
Yeah.
I love him.
Oh, he's great. Same. Yes.
He does great in the show.
Oh yeah.
He's great on the show when he's on it.
Yes. He goes, and so Dylan makes some, he goes, "Regis, it's time for you to use your lifeline, because if you don't, we're gonna kill you. We put a bomb in the basement.
And you can't phone a friend."
Exactly.
Because we cut off all cellular data.
He goes, "It's gonna be 50-50 in here.
There's no
half the audience is gonna live and the other half is gonna die.
There's no A, C, D, or E. There's only B for bomb."
Exactly.
Perfect.
And he goes, "Perfect. And so you better hope that somebody saves you." Right?
Yeah.
And he yells that one into the microphone.
Yeah.
Right? So he goes, you better hope that somebody saves you. And Serena's out there and a little light bulb goes off over her head.
And she's gotta go.
She's gotta go. So she pulls out of her toolbox, tool belt, fanny pack.
Yep.
She pulls out a little set of
wire pliers.
Defuses the bomb.
You know what they call those in the academy?
Oh no!
At Juilliard's.
At Juilliard's, they call them bomb knives.
Tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When everything's a bomb, when all you have is a
bomb,
everything looks like a knife, right?
Yes.
It's one of those love Alanis Morissette.
One of those old sayings. So the episode sort of started to wrap up, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the way that it wraps up is Serena.
She cuts it.
It's going tick, 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 beep, 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 and she cuts it, and
it goes.
Luckily, she cuts the right one. It doesn't go off.
Yep.
It she just goes, says, "Phew."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the bomb goes, "Bomb defused."
Serena is the hero.
Yeah, the bomb says, "Serena is the hero."
And so at that point, Mark and Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, and Samantha, they go on stage and they say to Regis, "You got to give her the crown now, right? Because she's the real hero." And Regis goes, "She didn't even compete in the competition. What the fuck are you talking about?"
And they go, "But she defused the bomb. You just heard the bomb say Serena is the hero."
If you look at the definition of hero in the dictionary, it says who defuses the bomb at the final seconds.
Which is what Serena says in her little speech that she starts giving. She goes,
yeah, Webster's dictionary defines.
And Regis cuts the mic, right? He's like, "Get the fuck off my stage."
Yeah.
"Get the fuck off my stage." Says it a bunch of times.
"I'm Regis."
He goes, "I'm Regis, bitch. I'm Regis."
And if you didn't remember, these are all copyrighted and trademarked lines now.
Yes. Yeah. So, listeners, if you'd like your "I'm Regis, bitch" t-shirt, go ahead and write to us on Vine, and we will send you one for free. Because they are copyrighted by the show, we legally cannot sell them,
right?
But we will make them for free,
right?
And ship them out. It's not free for us to make it. We have to pay a lot,
right? But, like a lot.
You know, we want to get this thing cooking.
Yes.
So
back to the episode.
I'm gonna make Regis bitch happen.
Back to the episode.
Back to the episode.
So the episode's done.
It's done. Yeah, because I mean, basically, it's done. There's a little. Denouement, right?
Yeah, post-amble.
Because she doesn't win the tiara, but she does
win
her
the
lesson.
Affection of her peers.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was kind of interested by that because I was sort of like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
It's like, she didn't win. I was like, what was the point of that episode? She didn't win the crown.
Yeah.
But, you know, go ahead.
I just like, when I tune into my favorite TV show, I want some kind of physical symbol of victory, and it's really hard for me to comprehend when it's a metaphorical kind of thing, like emotion,
like a hug,
like hugs, or "I love you," or "I respect you," or "You're a good cop."
Hug, "I love you," "I respect you," "You're a good cop." Those were the things that Samantha Bolt hugged her. Dylan Smith said, "I love you." Mark Briggs said, "I respect you." Mm-hmm. Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, said, "You're a good cop."
Yes.
Serena cries, and she goes, "All I ever wanted was your respect." Which is a nice little counterpoint to earlier, where she was saying all the things she didn't even like or want.
And she said, I don't even want the tiara. I just want your respect.
Yeah, she sort of like puts the, kind of like we're doing right now, she like really ties a bow on it, right? You know, now she's looking at the camera finally. She's been looking up the whole time. Now she's looking right at the camera, telling the viewer, here's the message of the episode. Here's what it was about. Here's what I wanted to begin. Here was my want. Here was my need. Here's how it happened. She kind of explains it.
Here's the motifs and themes.
Yeah, she basically does explain her for the whole thing. I mean, a 19-20 minute explainer presented by Vox.
Yeah.
And
you might be wondering, then what's the point of this podcast? And I'll tell you, the point of this podcast is to recap all of that.
Who splains the splainers?
Yeah.
Episode's over.
I don't want to miss a thing.
And we don't want to miss our break where we go to a
sponsor. Hey, Hero Heads, hope you're really enjoying this episode. Before we get back to the rest of it, wanted to take a moment to thank our sponsor. That's you. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Please Save Me on Apple Podcasts. We have a review to read today. As you know, if you do send in a review, we'll read it out loud on the air. This one comes from Uberez8. It says, I reviewed this 5 stars, and now my family finally loves and respects me. Before, my marriage was falling apart, and my kids referred to me as the weak chimp. Now me and my wife make love every night, and my kids call me powerful. Uberez, that sounds great, and I'm glad that reviewing us 5 stars could do that for you and your family. See what reviewing us 5 stars does for you and your family, listeners. Back to the episode.
Welcome back, Hero Heads. We hope that you enjoyed your break as much as we did. We got ourselves regrouped and ready to go into our favorite part of the podcast. As much as we love recapping Chicago Heroes, the truth is that Chicago Heroes is somebody else's creative work, and we are merely players on their stage.
And stewards of the word.
And yet, we do get a chance to kind of do our own thing, and that is what we call... the segment.
Yeah, so we can kind of chill out and lean back and have a little bit of fun with this one.
So this week's segment is called Bikes, Boats, and Cable Cars. Bikes, Boats, and Cable Cars. You've all seen the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and if you haven't, the only thing that you need to know about it is that it's about a neurotic, uptight businessman and a fun-loving, warm-hearted, but super obnoxious guy who get paired together and ride on a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So the question for us today in this segment is, if you had to travel across the country with somebody that you didn't like, what form of transportation would you take, and where would you be going?
Okay. I love when we have philosophical questions on the podcast.
It's kind of an existential question because it's like...
Yeah, it's pretty heady.
If you were sailing the seas of life, where'd you be going?
Right.
You know, how'd you gonna get there?
How'd you gonna get
Who'd you gonna be with?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big question, actually.
One of life's big questions.
Little segment.
Life's big question.
Little big segment is what we should have actually called this segment.
Yeah.
Instead of boats, bikes, and cable cars.
Yeah.
Bikes, boats, and cable cars. Although that is catchy.
Yeah.
Quite. Well, let's see. I guess that for me... I'd probably be riding a longboard.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, riding a two-person longboard.
A longboard's kind of like a car.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, especially I'd be riding an extra longboard.
Yeah.
Size of a car. And with doors.
and an engine.
An engine. And a front seat.
Yeah.
And a side seat and a back seat.
Oh, I think that's called a carboard.
Yes. And who would I be riding with?
Well, who's your enemy? Who you also kind of love?
Good question.
For the listeners, I'm actually on my knees in front of Ben, begging and pleasing.
I would probably be riding with... one of my podcast heroes.
Ooh.
Mm.
Somebody that I really look up to. Or even kind of look down on, if you get my drift in terms of painting a picture.
DeVito?
Danny DeVito is not who I would be riding with. I would be riding with Jimmy Pardo of Never Not Funny. Yes, that's the podcast hero that I'm talking about.
I knew it.
Is Jimmy Pardo. Because if you're going to be on a long trip on a longboard, you're going to want to be with someone who's never not funny. Because otherwise, it's going to get boring.
Right.
So that's why I would choose him. And my answer is done, thank God. And let's move along to either to Carl Roadster or to, oh, I guess actually someone else who podcasts is in here too, Sarah Black. So,
yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I'm happy going before or after you. I have no preference.
Mm-hmm. Hey, dude, you can take the muzzle off.
Yeah, you can take that muzzle off. That's all right.
Okay, so it makes me comfortable.
Go ahead and leave it on. That's cool.
Yeah, go ahead. What were you? You can go ahead.
If I had a I could be fictional. I could kind of use my imagination for this segment, right?
Oh yeah, we love imagination.
Okay, part. I've been thinking. I think the my voice has been different throughout the podcast. I've been looking at my dad's stick less and more throughout, and it makes my voice fluctuate and my accent fluctuate. So don't pay too much mind to it.
Yeah, I think that's mostly because of just how it bounces off the walls of the trailer differently based on where you're facing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Thank you for validating that statement. Yeah. So if I had,
but when you strapped that muzzle over your face, that is when it changed it the most.
Yeah, it's just something I do for, you know, towards the end of a podcast.
During the break.
I get a little sleepy. I'm like, I need some pep in my step. You know what we'll do it? Leather on my fucking face.
Yeah.
It's just like that leather gets those bikers revved up.
Yeah, but there's no camera, so this is still not mature.
Just for me.
Just for me.
If I was you.
That's the muzzle brand name, just for me.
Yep.
So if I use my okay, so I could pick any vehicle I want. I really thought about this. I used all my creativity. I know it's not here yet, but the 2020 Buick LaSalle. I want to ride in the future.
That wasn't a rule that you made. So you
I didn't make that rule. No,
I'm going to take advantage of the game.
Guests are always trying to break the rules of these segments, and you manage to find a way around
it. Say, for example, say this happens, and you are in the future, and you are riding in your Buick LaSalle 2020. Who's president?
That's a good. I think Howard Schultz is a good guy. I like his coffee. I like his policies. I'm drinking good. That's his platform. 2020. I'm drinking good. Fuck the poor. And I could
stop bullying me for being a billionaire.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. So I think I would ride with the CEO of Dunkin' Donuts because fuck that motherfucker. I'm gonna show him the road of America, and he's not part of it. But I'll show him
because that's the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Totally. You keep your friends close and you keep the enemies of your favorite coffee closer.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love that. That's great. I'm drinking good.
And that is truly in the spirit of both spikes and cable cars. So let's move on to Sarah Black.
Ben, Carl, I had a lot of time to think about what I would do here. And so far I know one thing. And if I'm traveling anywhere, it's going to be by hot air balloon. Seems fun. Seems whimsical. And if I'm in the hot air balloon, who's with me? Well, somebody who doesn't take up much room, probably. Somebody smart. Who knows how to steer a hot air balloon, because I don't. Somebody who has Klonopin, because I'm afraid of heights. Yep. So that means I'm taking my psychiatrist on a hot air balloon with me and we're going to
round the world.
Yeah.
How long is that going to take?
Okay. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But it's 80 days.
Oh man, yeah, you're totally I was totally off base. You're right. Yeah, 80 days makes more sense.
Yeah,
that's more practical
than what I was thinking. Obviously,
call me crazy, but I was thinking 40. Well, that's fucking stupid.
No, it's twice that.
Crazy. It would take twice that. So that has been Bokes, Bikes, and Cable Cars. Well, that's been the segment, and now it's time for the penultimate segment of the show, the
Rescue Report. Woo, woo. All right, guys. This is where we tally up the lives saved this episode. And as we always do, let's talk about the lives lost and show them a little respect first.
I'm trying to remember in this episode, were there actually any
livers or dyers?
Lives lost.
Snack cashier.
Oh, yes. He's saved.
He was saved.
Yeah.
Because Samantha Bolt got them to not shoot him with their gun.
Right.
I forgot.
Yeah. But were there any... So he was saved, so that's one
that's
for the
one.
Save column.
Yep.
Were there any dyers?
I personally... I'm a little more empathetic than most men. I feel a lot of cars died.
Yes.
Yeah. And cars are people.
Yes.
Actually, you know, a lot of people were saved, I'm thinking, and a lot of people were saved because the bomb was in the stadium and they could have died, but they didn't.
Yes. Yeah. The heroes,
sorry, I clapped. I got excited.
The heroes sort of, I mean, it was an exciting thing. It was this exciting little mini drama that took place over about 2 minutes where... For one moment, you know, thousands of people could have been killed by our heroes at their manipulative hands.
Yeah.
But so I would say that they got saved, and then also the heroes, you know, we've discussed before whether we can do this or not, but the heroes also kind of saved themselves, saved their souls by...
Who will save your soul if you won't save your own?
By not... wantonly massacring thousands of...
And not wantonly massacring.
Pageant attendees. Yeah, I mean, either way, they wouldn't have wanted to do it, but they didn't.
Well, friendship is important. You do whatever you do, you gotta do and make a friend happy. You gotta put a bomb somewhere.
Well, and that's what makes you a good person or not, right?
Would you do a bomb for a
friend? Friends and family?
Yeah, I'd do a bomb for a friend.
That's cute.
Yeah.
And there's 3 more people saved, and that's us.
Exactly.
And that's been the Rescue Report.
That's been the penultimate segment, and now it's time for our ultimate segment, Next Week On.
Didn't see it.
Did not see it this week.
Carl, do you see the Next Week On segment?
No, I don't believe
that
so.
That is too bad.
That sucks.
That really sucks. I wasn't able to see it this week because I had heard that this was a car episode, and so I was watching the episode in...
Are you just now finding out that it was a car episode?
Yeah, I guess there's a glitch in my Google alert, because I usually, every time there's a car mentioned, I fucking know, but not this time.
Yeah, so I'd heard that they were going to be doing 2 back-to-back car episodes, and I was like, well, I want to see the Next Week On then, and it really makes sense. I'll watch it in my car, right? I'll sit in my car, and I'll watch it on my portable, but my portable was plugged into the cigarette lighter on my car, and then my car ran out of gas.
Uh-huh.
And so the cigarette lighter...
Again?
Again is what I was saying.
Yeah.
At the end. But luckily it ran out of gas right at the end of the episode. So I saw everything else, but didn't see the Next Week On. So unfortunately... And Sarah was in there with me.
Yeah, I was just there.
And so was Carl Roadster. So none of us can share.
Sorry.
Sorry. Well, now it's time for our ultimate segment.
Great.
And we love this one.
We love this one.
This is our third favorite segment.
Yeah, this is like pouring diesel fuel into the podcast.
Segment tank.
Yeah. Ooh.
And so this is the Ray Romano Memorial promo section. Now, we sort of have a, you know, fun little world away from the world inside of our podcast trailer where we record this. But there actually is a real world outside these walls, and there's all kinds of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. So what we like to do when we have our guests on is, you know, they're usually really caught up in their stuff that they do, you know, their expertise.
Yes.
Right. And you've heard about that all episode.
Real
car guy, right? You know, you got to watch Car Roadster 12 on YouTube. You know, you got to like, you got to subscribe.
Yeah.
But Car Roadster 12, you might also have, I don't know, some friends, some buddies, some stuff going on out in the real Chicago verse, right? Not the one on the screen.
The real blue collar. Hey, I'm walking here.
Chicago.
I'm driving here.
Exactly.
Beep, beep, I'm driving here.
I love that movie.
Is there any...
Yeah, I love Ghostbusters.
Any stuff, anybody out there where you would want our Hero Head listeners to check it out?
Yeah, well, I don't believe in his personal life choices. I want to plug my son.
Oh, yes, please do.
Aaron Klopfer on Twitter.
Aaron Klopfer. So that's your son. That's your big fan that you got.
Yeah.
Lottery winner.
Yeah.
And Aaron Klopfer on Twitter. What are people going to find over at that Twitter account?
Real life-changing stuff about what Shrek cum tastes like. What does it feel like?
What do Shrek cum taste like?
Yeah, that's you got to follow to find out.
And follow to find out at AAronKlopfer. With an at symbol before it. Actually, you don't have to put that in on Twitter. Just put it in the URL.
Yes.
Twitter.com/go back 15 seconds, find how I spelled it. And then,
then put that in.
Press enter.
Yeah.
https://. You want to keep it secure.
Got it. Keep that S.
Keep it locked down.
Smash that S key.
Smash that S key. Is there anything else, or is that just about the size of it?
That's about, I mean, there's, if you like illustrations, there's more on Instagram, on Twitter called @pants. His name's Joshua. I forget his last name, but he make a funny cartoon every damn day. And I'm not affiliated with him at all, but he just make a dang old cartoon @pants.
On Instagram.
Yeah. Twitter, I think.
Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter @pants, I think. Instagram pants.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. And that's triple pants on Vine.
Yeah.
So check that out over there. And this has been...
That's me pantsing.
Carl, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, Carl, you were a joy. It was like pouring diesel fuel into my heart.
Y'all took me on a ride I'll never forget, and I think we're family forever.
Life is a highway, and we are riding it together.
And this has been the Ray Romano Memorial promo section. So as ever and as always, we say to you, R.I.D.
Rest in
Deborah!
Smells like courage.
Yeah. Ha!